you here with Evie and Lee on Hills Radio 88.9. We've got a terrific interview coming up now with Helen McMullen and Darren Hunt. They're from MIFSA, which is Mental Illness Fellowship South Australia. They've got a high tea coming up next Tuesday, which we're going to promote in a little while to raise funds. But in the meanwhile, what we really want to do is get down to what MIFSA is all about. Darren, welcome to the show. My first question to you is, who are the people that will benefit through MIFSA? Is it the ordinary person? What are we talking about here?
Thank you for letting me come on the show, and also Helen as well. Thank you for that. But really, mental ill health affects quite a large population, so much so in Australia, nearly half the population will experience significant mental health challenges in their lifetime. And as a result, lost productivity is estimated in the tens of billions of dollars.
That's a massive figure, really. Mm. And I've got to say, you know, I think everybody that would honestly own up would say that at some point in their life, they've had a mental challenge. Now, some handle it better than others, and I guess some don't handle it better than others. Is there a specific group? Are we talking people that are in hospital generally, or is it the average person?
Look, I think coming to Mental Illness Fellowship of South Australia, MIFSA, it's a unique organisation, and I think it welcomes anyone that's experiencing mental ill health, and there's various programs where they can participate and hopefully achieve a better lifestyle and make their day-to-day living better.
Mm. Helen, you're actually the program development manager there. So when you go to put a program together, what are you trying to put together for people to use? What avenues do you have to go through?
We have probably people that will come to us with severe and persistent mental illness, and we could also have people that are inquiring about corporate training. So we're covering the community of South Australia, and I think when I look at people who self-refer, it could be for the very first time that they're experiencing anxiety or depression, or they might have had a life-changing event or some trauma in their life, and they're feeling that something has changed. And it doesn't necessarily put them in a category where they fit into a program, but they're exploring what kind of support might get them back on track.
And probably understanding what they're going through themselves, because I was reading something about high-achieving anxiety. Now, a lot of people wouldn't understand what that would possibly mean, but with high-achieving anxiety, you actually look like you're a perfectionist and you're doing everything right, and then all of a sudden, as the anxiety grows, you start saying things like, oh, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, and then suddenly start worrying about the people around you and, oh, I've let them down or that. So it's a broad spectrum, isn't it? There's just not one illness to fit everyone, and it's a shame it's sort of used as a word illness, isn't it? It's a disposition that you're going through at the time.
Yeah, you summed it up beautifully, because I don't even like the word illness. I use mental ill health, because it is such an individual experience, and there is such a range of what someone could experience, and it could be depression, anxiety, it could be OCD, it could be borderline personality disorder, it could be psychosis, it could be bipolar. It's just such a range. It's just a huge amount, and it's about what it is for that individual and what is going to be best for them in their best outcome. And you know, it's MIFSA's journey is to provide hope for those that possibly don't have hope.
Mm. And also gender people these days, we've got that to go through as well, don't we? Where that some people will look at ill health about that, and it's not. It's just another state for them.
Yeah. Look, MIFSA also have got an LGBTIQ program.
Oh,
where,
brilliant!
Come out and self-funded by MIFSA, and it's making. I don't know too much about the program. I'll get Helen to speak about it if I can. Thanks, Helen.
Yes, well, actually, it's a board initiative that was funded. So we're very proud of the drop-in centre that we have down at Christie's Beach, and we also do cultural awareness training. So we encourage service providers, the workforce in general, to understand the position that people with LGBTIQ identification would experience, that discrimination through homophobia, I suppose.
Yep.
Helen, I'm interested to find out the process that one works by to get involved, whether from a, I don't know if I'll call it a patient perspective or a peer directing perspective, but you did mention that Christie's Beach. Where are your places that people can find you?
We have a site at Wayville near the showgrounds. We have Penanga, which is at Christie's Beach. We also operate at Manham and Murray Bridge. These are physical sites. We also have a site at Eyre or Port Lincoln, Mount Gambier. We do have a family mental health service in the APY lands in Ernabella.
Mm.
And our one-on-one support would cover most of metropolitan Adelaide.
Right. So to start with first then, if someone's got a problem, what's their first part of the process?
There is an approach that can be a self-referral. So you don't need a diagnosis. You may have a long history of mental health, but we are here in a very non-clinical sense. So we're operating out of a psychosocial model of recovery. So we would like people to understand what it is that's changed in their lives and what they would like from MIFSA in support in helping them achieve those goals.
Right.
Darren, you've gone through a lot yourself in your personal life to get you on the board of MIFSA. Now, apparently 70% of your people have in some way gone through mental health disorders. And what was yours? What brought you to this point?
All right. It is a long journey, and it goes back 25 years ago. And for me, I was in the military, and I was participating in the Royal Military College, which was officer training, and I had my first psychosis, which I don't know if people are aware of psychosis, but I will give a quick explanation, and it's very individual. But for me, it's when you lose track of reality and you're in like a dreamlike state. So there is some fear with psychosis that people were going to be aggressive or they might hurt someone, but the norm for psychosis is that people, if they're at risk at anything, it's at risk at harming themselves. So it is quite misunderstood, and back 25 years ago I didn't understand, and I personally thought it was split personality or and that's not the case. So, you know, it's about education. A lot of times educating yourself, because there is a lot of stigma out there. I mean, depression and anxiety today, with this so much going on nationally, that it's almost getting accepted. But, for example, psychosis or schizophrenia or bipolar, it's not as accepted publicly. So it's about education to say that, you know, these people are going through a struggle, and they're not dangerous, and we want to make, and there's only a very rare occasion, and, you know, unfortunately the media has something to do with that.
Well, it's also educating your bosses, isn't it? Because you work for someone that actually understands your situation, and when things get to a point where you might need just a break, he allows you, or the company allows you to do that. Is that something we need to educate bosses about for people?
Well, yes, there is various programs out there, community educating, workforce educating, but primarily, yeah, I mean, we're fortunate enough we're working in the mental health industry, the mental health sector. So if the mental health sector can't get it right, what sector is going to get it right? So,
you've got a lot open. Now, we're going to have to take a small break here, Darren and Helen. If you don't mind, would you mind staying on a bit longer, and we'll chat a bit with you a bit further? in studio we have Helen McMullen from MIFSA, the manager program development person and fundraiser, and also Darren Hunt, who's a board member. Now, just going back to you, Darren, we were talking off air about health issues coming to the fore as being one of the problems when you've been treated. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, look, what I wanted to say was that research suggests that people living with severe mental illness experience significantly higher rates of physical illness and life expectancy that is 13 to 30 years lower than the general population. And they're not... it's not due to suicide, even though that plays a role, but it's due to physical health conditions.
I find that amazing.
What physical health conditions are you suggesting?
So it's most commonly heart attack, stroke, that account for 60% of premature deaths, but there's also sedentary lifestyles, poor nutrition, obesity, smoking, side effects of psychiatric medications. It all plays a role in cardiovascular
disease. And a lot of those exacerbate the problem too, don't they? Then, because smoking is not good for mental health issues, are they? Because all the little chemicals.
The whole thing is, if you're not feeling well about yourself, you do things to try and make yourself feel better, and they're the very things that make you not feel so good about yourself.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a real issue with that, isn't it?
It's about sustaining health-related lifestyle changes and be able to find that relationship with health professionals, trusting relationships, health screenings, all this type of stuff. And basically some people have got capacity but some haven't, and, it could be a real challenge.
So you've got a program, it's the peer group program. You're yourself a peer group person?
Yeah, I actually work as a peer specialist. I don't work for MIFSA personally, but I work as a peer specialist, and my program that I work for is Partners in Recovery, and MIFSA participates in Partners in Recovery, and they have support facilitators working for them, and so much so that Partners in Recovery also comes up into the hills area.
I just got distracted.
No, what I was going to ask, Darren, was once a peer helper comes through, tell me the type of things that you would do as a peer support mentor.
Okay, so with a peer worker, I actually have adopted personally an intentional peer support model, which is started out by Sherry Mead from the US. But what it means is that I would hopefully the principle was two equals sitting side by side. So I have lived experience of mental ill health, and the person I'm working with now, you can call this person a person, you can call them a client, you can call them a participant, you can call them a consumer. There's so many titles, and that's another discussion, but I work as two equals together, and I can go into what has helped me in my own recovery methods, and then we can explore whether it's going to work for that individual that I'm working with.
Helen, your program with MIFSA, you've also got respite care, and you've also got accommodation. Can you just elaborate with people what that means to them? What can they do with that you provide?
Respite can be for a carer, or it can be for their loved one. And we have programs at Respite House, which is at Seaview Downs, and they normally run from Tuesday to Fridays, and they give the carer a break, so the carer can come into the house and have a break, and then one-on-one support can be organised for the loved one still at home, and vice versa, so the person they care for can come into Respite House and have a four-day break. And then the carer has got 4 days at home to catch up on appointments or whatever they need to do.
Because they often get overlooked, the carers, and they end up getting sick themselves, don't they? Because they don't know that there is that door open for them as well to get support.
Well, I think it's quite common that the carer can quite often carry some of that disability as well, because, you're living and breathing the life of your loved one. So to have the opportunity to take a break, share similar peer experiences with other carers, learn self-care techniques, understand how important it is to re-energise and come back to to a fresh face and take back the caring role is really important.
Helen, we should point out that this service that you provide is free. And also that it's confidential for anyone that would be concerned with that side of things. But I'm sure this must cost a lot to run. What's the methods that you use to raise funds for this?
At the moment, we're holding a high tea at the Morfettville Racecourse next Tuesday. So we do fundraising to support the programs. And we're also obviously looking at other income streams to support so that people can have access to the right programs at the right time.
Mm. Well, with the high tea, you've got a rather special person to get interviewed by. Jane Doyle it will be the interviewer. But tell people about who your special guest is, because I think this woman is one of the most inspirational people you could ever go and hear.
Jill Hicks, in 2005, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time in the London Underground, and she was part of the London bombing, and she lost part of her legs. So she is coming to have an in-conversation style chat with Jane Doyle about her journey from that day and how she's, you know, resilient and come back with the most inspirational life view.
Because there was no greater challenge than when that all happened to her. You know, she lost both legs, I think, during that whole train bombing. She's had to come back and start a new life, basically, starting, you know, all over. She's happily married now, has moved forward.
Lives locally in Adelaide.
Yeah, and gives of her time, or, you know, and I just think anyone that has the time next Tuesday, so that's at the Morfettville Racecourse. It's a scrummy high tea. If people want to know about it, they just need to go to the MIFSA website, which is capital MIFSA.org.au. Tickets are still on sale, but we've only got a few left, so please hurry up and do yourself a favour. Come along, because not only are you helping MIFSA, you're also going to hear the most wonderful story about a very, very brave woman. Thank you both for coming in, Darren and Helen. May your journeys continue the way they are for the better. And it's been just a wonderful afternoon spending it with these people.
It really has. And for anyone that is interested as well, there is a support number. And if anyone would like it, we'll put it up on our Evie and Lee Facebook page. But if you'd like to write it down, it's 1-800-985-944. We'll say that again a little bit later if you've missed that. So thanks for joining us.